listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 18th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. I did mention in the chat that we had a little tech glitch off the top of the show. We were a little late.
Pshaw. No, we're exactly on time. This is when we needed to start. I'm sure
Jamil
that somebody's catching up.
The gremlins were having some fun.
Welcome to those joining us live, and thank you to those listening in the archives. We always appreciate you taking the time out of your week to catch up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight we're going to have a bit more of a free-willing discussion, but we already have some great things lined up to discuss. I know that there's been some recent news that we're eager to kind of get into, and Dr. Vicki, I think you had some interesting points about recent Pentagon revelations regarding UFOs and alien life.
Well, it's current news. It's going on as we speak. Well, maybe not in this exact moment, but as of yesterday, the first congressional UFO hearings in over 50 years is taking place. And, of course, they're going through this 400 claimed UFO sightings, which if you go to MUFON, they would say there's a lot more than that. So, anyway, it is interesting to me that this is kind of predicted. I know Stephen Greer, the Mr. Guru of Disclosure, has talked about this for a number of years, that eventually the government will start having hearings about it, and all in conjunction with space wars, and, try to say that there's some alien threat.
Yeah.
And who's the first to space, and, you know, which is so ludicrous. But, you know, again, there's a lot of politics in here, right? So, from the onset, just to give a little background, since 1947, I should know this because I know I've studied it a lot.
Roswell?
Falling. Yeah, thank you very much. After Roswell, and of course, all the secrecy and Area 51, and, you know, and how it kind of got started in these other secret organizations, namely military, kind of have a foothold that really has nothing to do with the government, you know, and diversions of money, and how we have, you know, grown exponentially. I love that word.
That's a fun one.
I know. You know, in our technology, and a lot of claims about reverse technology of, you know, what was found in 1947. We can go back further if we wanted to, really, because Hitler did a great amount, and there's Well, a lot of studies and case reports about how Hitler had located an actual alien ship and was trying to duplicate it. So we can go back prior to 1947. But the gist of this is that there's been a lot of people who know that we're not alone in the universe. And so, but trying to keep it quiet to the masses, et cetera.
Well,
and of course, when Trump declared space, you know, the space war crew, and that's kind of all been in predictive in a way that there would be this political motivation to bring up about UFOs. Honestly, if there was going to be some alien threat, it would have happened a long time ago.
Well, if there's going to be an alien threat, it's likely we can't do anything about it. I mean, maybe now that we have nuclear weapons, but even then, I doubt it. Also, you know, I agree with a lot of that. I think that now our society is developed to the point where at least the moderns, you know, the more modern-esque parts of the world that are less steeped in religion than some of the other older parts of the world are, I think it would be much more readily adapted to. And, you know, the Space Force, I think he just wanted to have his name on something that he could say is historic, but the Space Force just took what existing authority that the Air Force had and, you know, put it into a new, you know, sub-unit of the Air Force almost. But there was no new capability added. There was nothing new that was done. And, you know, I think there are plausible explanations for human development of certain technologies, especially when you look at the locomotive building up speed in the terms of human technological progress. The more knowledge you have about a wide variety of fields, the more it's interconnected. The more knowledge you have, the quicker you gain new knowledge because everything's interrelated. If you understand biology, that will help understand physics and things like that. Just in the very basics of how things operate, it's all building upon itself. But, you know, to say that computer technology didn't just, you know, take off like crazy, you know, it would be wrong. I mean, obviously, there was a huge jump and it can't be explained. And it's very plausible that we maybe reverse engineered some things. But that being said, I usually think of like an advanced spacefaring species to have essentially technology that would be too advanced that we just couldn't possibly reverse engineer because we wouldn't understand it well enough. So there's so many different avenues here because I think of, you know, all kinds of things.
It's a guess.
Yeah.
It's all a guess, right? Somebody knows, though, of what's what and where. I just read an article that in 1949, they had an electric car in Japan. And they were running them, these electric cars that could go 200 miles on a single charge. Now, I think Ford also had his own electric vehicle. So now we're saying, you know, electric cars are new. They're not. It's just they weren't as economically viable
exactly.
and profitable.
Well, profitable is the key word there.
Profitable to oil and gas. And
well,
oil and gas
anybody.
Being the big thing. So I think the people who hold the money are the ones who withhold the information and certain technologies in order to, you know, you got to buy a new iPhone every year.
You know, yeah, it's kind of plateaued, hasn't it, though? I
mean. Yeah, and maybe. And so I think that there's a lot of there's a lot of connecting of the dots that has yet to happen, and I don't know if we'll ever get to the truth. For one, Michael, I do believe that a lot of our technology is reverse engineering. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I could believe it. You know, like if proof came out, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I could see that. But I also, I'm not sold on it, to be honest. I think it's definitely a possibility, but I'm not like, you know. I wouldn't say I'm in any camp on that particular issue of whether you could reverse engineer that kind of alien technology. I think there are plausible explanations for their alternative too. But that being said, I've always been happy to point out that I'm sure I'm just horribly wrong on a great many things and just don't realize it yet. In the wide world, I wonder if there's anybody that even... Is there any human that knows the truth, that knows the total truth of, you know, what's going on? I don't even think so. Because
I'm just going to add, Dr. Zach said in the chat, unfortunately, it's all about trying to get the new technology to weaponize it first. And I don't disagree.
That's why war has always been an accelerant for technological development.
Sure.
There's incentives in, a huge way. And it's an unfortunate reality. It's, it's an unfortunate aspect of humanity that's undeniable.
Well, there's just some people who are power mongers. That's, that's the way it goes. Power is everything. It's not about the money. It's about the power. And it's just, it's a rush for people to have that. And, and I have met some people in my life who just kind of like to think they're important and hold power.
Yeah.
And feel that they're distant, different from everybody else.
As you say that, well, that's just essentially why World War I happened at all. I've been listening in on podcasts about that history, and it's just like, okay, so millions of people die just because you were having a 19th century European mindset about, basically, war games as in chess on a chessboard. And if these people, they had, no idea the power of 20th century weapons, and they just blundered into it. And then they had, all of them would refuse to stop the war, even though nobody knew what was the end game. What were they even fighting for? But they all had to save face. It was the ego, And I think that that kind of ego and tribalism factors in far more. It's something
I have to say to people who are just joining us now, because of the technical glitch at the top of the program, I know Dr. Edwards said he had to refresh, and he's wondering what we're talking about. So I'm just going to say to everybody again that the U.S. Congress is holding UFO hearings and going through the military database that claims to now include 400 reports. So that's kind of what we're talking about. So I don't know how long these hearings are going on, except that the point that Dr. Stephen Greer would say is that this is kind of all a plot to start looking at our need to conquer space.
Yeah, okay. That's a tall order, too. I mean, space, just the infinite expanse of everything.
Oh, and everybody's fighting over who's going to get what territory on the moon, and who knows.
That's like, small potatoes.
It's crazy. So that has led us into this discussion tonight about, look, I'm of the mind, are extraterrestrials, intergalactics, do they exist? Absolutely. Question in my mind.
Of course.
My experiences, whatever. I don't question that. I think that 400 cases being studied, military cases, okay, that's what they're allowing. Over the next few years, there's a time period of disclosure that the U.S. government is supposed to release. How much of that they will, who knows, because there's still all these questions that we're talking about in technology that they don't want us to know about.
Is the United States government the only people that are coming into contact with aliens? Is there no other nation state that can deal with this too?
Not.
Why is it always on us?
Well, China is way ahead in that, and I know people who've traveled throughout China over the last few decades many times, and it's just common. Seeing UFOs is just commonplace.
Yeah.
Throughout all of Europe, Russia, this is not unusual.
South
America is dripping with reports of, alien bases and mountain underwater stuff and, all over the world. However, the U.S. Is largely talked about, I think, because it's considered a superpower.
I mean, considered a super trauma, Dr. Vicky. You trying to talk smack? I'm kidding.
I don't know. I think everybody thinks they're a superpower, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the kind people of Costa Rica really view themselves on that scale. But that being said, you can see how much the game has changed, where today, even the most mainstream of scientists, even the most, dead center skeptical of people out there, everybody has to acknowledge the mathematical just impossibility that we are the only sentient life in the universe. I think everybody acknowledges that there is life out there, that there is intelligent life out there. I think the skeptics at this point, and it's such an interesting thing to see, the skeptics at this point are saying that, oh, sure, there's alien life out there, it's intelligent, but it's just the distances are too vast, and time is too, you know, vast for them. The chances of them visiting us are just too low. I mean, compare that to, you know, even to probably 20 years ago when your most mainstream skeptic would say, oh, no, it's, you know, impossible to say that there's alien life out there. We just have no way of knowing if we, you know, there's any planet that could sustain it or anything like that. You know, it's, you can't, of course, you know, it's incredibly unlikely that there's alien intelligent life out there, which maybe 20 years ago is too much. I'd say maybe 30 or 40 years ago that might have been more mainstreamy. But I think we've made a lot of advances. And just in seeing the goalposts and where they go.
You know, Wendy has mentioned in the chat earlier, she said, I just want someone to figure out wormholes and let us have access so I can time travel. Well, actually, Wendy, they have. And, there has been some extraordinary pictures come out of wormholes, black holes, and pulsing and things that come in and out of black holes or wormholes, as you call them. And they're now advancing theories about, you know, what happens and how stars are born, how planets are born, or what comes through these wormholes. So it's a really interesting... I like to follow that stuff because... See, as a kid, even then, I remember with whether it was the early Doctor Who shows or the early Star Trek shows, you know, they all referenced this before we had any, you know, so-called science about it. And now, of course, they're readily finding some of this science and the telescopes and the amplifiers and the, you know, it's really quite extraordinary. But that's what I find interesting about the human mind, Michael, is that people imagining, whether it's early shows like Outer Limits, you know, early shows back in the 50s and the 60s, and of course, you know, that's post-1947 Roswell, but it's where the imagination goes, and what's in the imagination is that some kind of intuitive psychic envisioning of things, or is it really imagination? Because so much of what was, you know, seemed like off the walls, you know, is now quite shrugged off and normal.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
I find it fascinating.
I think you mentioned War of the Worlds, didn't you?
Oh, there's that too, War of the Worlds, well, 1984, yeah.
Well, War of the Worlds, yeah, I mean, I was thinking of the, you know, the, I guess, was it a radio play or probably a book before it was anything?
Yeah.
But obviously in, I think it was the 1930s, anybody that's listening can Google it, I'm too lazy to do that, but it was the broadcast of War of the Worlds, and who was it that did the broadcast? He's famous, it'll come to me probably, you know, a couple hours from now, and I'll have a eureka moment. But anyway, it's a famous story.
It was
story
an H.G. Wells book.
Ah. So the radio, you know, dramatization broadcast, people heard it. They thought it was real. People were panicking. And this is in the 30s. This is before Roswell. This is before any of that. Who did the narration? Orson Welles?
Orson Welles.
Duck around?
Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
So it's just people were ready to believe then, almost 100 years ago.
I know.
And it's not a new concept. In the 19th century, people were exploring the idea of space travel and things like that. You know, these things, you know, one of the reasons that I think a lot of people kind of get the jive about something being more recent is a lot of times these things, they feel so new. But they're not really new.
No.
They're not. Space travel, alien life, life on other worlds, these aren't especially new ideas.
Well, it's going to be interesting to observe and really listen to some of the reports that come out of these congressional hearings, because where are they going to go with this? Is it just going to fall flat, go nowhere, which it's done before? Mm-hmm. It certainly did in the 1960s because they wanted to hush everything up. But now where we are in this so-called space space wars, Will they actually take it the next steps forward, and what will the propaganda be? So I'm just going to encourage people to, you know, check it out once in a while, peek in and see what's going on there. Although a lot of people aren't crazy about Stephen Greer, I mean, he's not necessarily a personality for everyone. However, he has been really at the beginning of the Disclosure Project. He has been investigating UFOs along with a whole number of other people for 20, 30 some years. So if you want other information, you can go to MUFON, M-U-F-O-N. And you can actually see the map, and people report to MUFON any other kind of alien activity, and it has a map to show whether it was the triangles, you know, the small orbs, you know, what kinds of, ships that people have seen, and some of their experiences. And I like to check in on that once in a while too. Look, I just find it interesting. That's all. And I mean, this is stuff that stretches our mind, but we also have to consider the politics of the time and where we are as a society and a global society, you know, kind of, you know, yeah. where are we evolving to? Okay, you can have all this information, you can have all this intelligence, computers and technology and artificial intelligence, and the list is long, but how are we going to choose ourselves? How are we going to grow up?
Yeah.
And that's what, well, you know, as long as I'm still on the planet, that's what I kind of like to observe.
The ethical, moral, and social evolution of the species? It's going to take a while. But, you know, that's one of the wonderful things I love about Star Trek is the, you know, the notion that, yeah, sure, in Star Trek, we've had a World War III and tens and hundreds of millions have died, whatever. But hey, at least, you know, we evolve in 300 years from now. So, it really is. It's nice to have an idea that one day we will evolve socially and morally and ethically to the point where, you know, we won't need a lot of the institutions we have today because we'll be at a point where we've evolved past them. And that's kind of the key, is that we're not all at the same place. And evolution doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. Ethics, you know, there's so much that's relative to ethics. I do think there is objective morality in certain cases. Obviously, you know, don't kill the innocent, don't rape, don't steal, things like that are, you know, universal, or at least they should be. But, you know, ethics is a tricky thing. And, you know, let's talk about the ethics of a government potentially hiding information from people about UFOs. Now, seems pretty gosh darn unethical. But I've also done thought experiments where I put myself in certain shoes, and I think, how would I handle it if I was in that position? Sometimes, well, I feel hard-pressed to think, would I do things much different? I think, you know, maybe I would, but then again, if I'm, you know, dealt the facts and you see the situation, would you make a different choice?
Well, I don't know. If you're born onto a planet where there's all different species, you know, that are, you know, kind of think about Star Wars, or, you know, where different species are interacting and that's your normal.
Right.
What is normal? And I think if you're born into a society that shrugs it off, that many are, I might add,
yeah,
that shrugs it off, that there's UFOs flying around all over the place and you see them all the time, it's no big deal.
A few years back, what was it, 2017, 2018, Pentagon released a bunch of videos and said, yep, yeah, there's UFOs. We don't know what they are. We're not seeing the aliens, but we have no idea what this stuff is. And so, you know, one of the funniest things I saw was a Twitter comment by somebody who said, I love how the government basically just said that UFOs are real and nobody cares. And that's the thing. At this point, it's kind of a given. I mean, we're having these Pentagon hearings in Congress in the United States. We have many nations, not only the United States Navy and Air Force releasing video, but many nations releasing video. It's kind of a foregone conclusion. Most people kind of take it as a given that, yep, there's intelligent life out there. And yeah, odds are pretty good they're here and they're visiting us, or they have visited us. I think it's kind of, I mean, I'd love to see a poll on this. I think it's kind of mainstream now.
I do too. And by the way, thank you, Wendy, for putting the link, a YouTube link, in the chat to War of the Worlds 1938 broadcast. So that I'm actually going to listen to it now. That's when we're done, because it's been a long time, so I find that interesting. Thanks, Wendy. Sure. And thanks to Ione for mentioning Orson Welles in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely a eureka moment, yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah, so I think, there's lots of, little comments going on in the chat. So those who managed to get to the archives and listen to us, if you ever get a chance to come live, it's sometimes we have some real interesting stuff going on here.
Yeah, and occasionally I don't sound like a fool. So you can always have that to look forward to. But, I think really what we need to focus on is how are we going to appease our lizard overlords that have obviously come to the earth via, the hollow earth. So.
I can't go there. Look, the lizard people is where I draw the line.
And we haven't even gotten to the fact that the Germans in, Nazi Germany in 1945 left Germany but fled to the moon, and Hitler is still alive there on artificial means.
Oh. Hey, see? You never know.
Yeah, he was probably helped by aliens.
You never know. Well, some of the stuff that flies around, people say it's pretty crazy.
I think we're feeling the same thing, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to segue into, I think what a lot of people are afraid of is in the event of a great reveal, number one, cause a panic and think, we're all powerless and doomed, is that it takes away their vision or their beliefs in their gods. And what it would do to Christianity
makes you feel smaller.
It just kind of would dissipate that whole notion that maybe the gods are actually aliens.
Yeah, and we were thinking the same thing. And that leads to so many interesting things. We were making jokes about the lizard people and things like that, but of course somebody in chat had pointed out that ancient peoples have described what could be considered alien visitors, and then there's the whole argument that the ancient gods, especially the polytheistic gods of Greece and Rome and Egypt, were based on extraterrestrial beings of sorts, maybe even the ancient Yahweh. So there have been all these theories about that, and wouldn't it be a trip if aliens were masquerading as these, godlike figures. Of course, I sincerely doubt that they created humans. Maybe meddled a bit. But the interesting thing, if we're on this topic, and, I think we're going to be segueing here momentarily, but let me change gears here a little bit. If you were to read Genesis with kind of an impartial eye, and if you weren't to think of it in the way we think of, a monotheistic god, but more of like a god as an individual, somebody that's walking around, maybe somebody that's just very powerful that isn't actually an omnipotent god. Because Adam and Eve, they hide from God. Who's walking around, And it speaks of God moving about the Garden of Eden and things like that. Of course, I think it's a parable, but it's just a fascinating thing. And by the same token, when you don't know, you don't know. Is it an alien or is it humans that are from the future? maybe it is just such a thing, because humans have only had written history in, agriculture and civilization from, 6 to 10,000 years, based on which one of those things I just said we're talking about. We've only had the ability to broadcast outside of our own planet for a little over 100 years. And it's a very small window in galactic time, so civilizations, come and go and will live and die in a blink of an eye in galactic time. So how many of those civilizations are lining up to the point where we could have interstellar travel?
Here's another thing though, Michael.
Go ahead.
A lot of the technology that people believe is around now by governments, and I won't just say the USA,
DARPA.
Is that it's going to be very hard for us to decipher which is one of ours, meaning humanity's, or which is one of theirs, meaning ET's.
Right.
And so if you don't know the difference, because apparently we have a lot more technology capabilities than has been released also. So you're right. I mean, what do we know?
Right. Well, my end of that, what I submit to you part, is I submit to you that it with the available facts that we have, it is as much a possibility that it is time travelers, human time travelers, as much as it is an alien species.
True.
So it's just, I mean, in an infinite galaxy, yeah, there are, well, in an infinite universe full of galaxies like ours, of course there have to be, literal countless intelligent species out there. The only question is, which ones have we come into contact with, and what kind of contact is that? Are we, in a deal, or is it more of like a, we really hope that they kind of leave us alone, and we found one or two of their craft and picked over some technology, and yep, sure, they abducted a couple people to try to figure us out, and they kind of look at us like we looked at, older tribal peoples back in the day and treated them with coldness and, kind of a calculating way. They could be looking at us that way. So, I mean, what kind of relationship do we have? And the speculation is endless. That's why it's so fun. But
I think
it's that time,
Michael,
though.
Let's get on to some cards.
It is.
Look at the time.
It is.
I don't mean to jump in and cut you off, but we
could
be
on
a roll
there.
Here. Once we get going. So,
sometimes I wonder if there's like a lag between what I hear and what you hear.
It could be.
We run into each other a lot, but.
Yeah, sometimes. And that could be our Mixler or the Skype gods. It's hard to know sometimes. We do have this slight delay. I know we have a delay onto the live broadcast from what you and I hear.
Yeah, definitely we have 10 or 15 second delay.
We have some names.
We're
going to do our best to take the first 10 or 12 names and see how we do for time.
Yeah. All right. So, let's see. I think if I'm catching up on this, is it Dr. Ione?
It is.
So I have number 2, esteem and validation. Good one. I don't think we pulled in a little while. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, esteem and validation and the Justice card together as a support, Ione, is fairness and equitability. Be really sure you're being fair with yourself and give yourself the credit you deserve. And not to undervalue yourself. That's what I want to say. So there might be a situation or, a moment in time where you're feeling a little uncertain. And it's just saying go within yourself and just look at the fairness, equitability, and, value for value. So, kind of look at it that way. So it's just, it's kind of like being a cheerleader for you right now. Hope that makes sense.
All right. We have a card that we're going to pull for Anna next.
We do, yeah.
And Anna, I have number 28, Do No Harm, Do Right. Kind of a classic core card. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. And I'll just say real quick, I love that part of, doing right means taking a positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. A very important distinction.
It is so. And we have the world in support of that, Anna. And how I put that together is, there may be opportunities ahead or may even have an opportunity now, but does it resonate with your conscience? That's what I want to say. So if it's something it's not even about skills or what's in your wheelhouse. Is this something that you can live with? Not everyone behaves in an appropriate way or their motives aren't always in check. So do you want to be a part of that? Or do you want to rethink it? So that's just a heads up. That's what I get from that one. And thanks to Ione for the feedback. She said her little comments for her were appropriate for what's happened to her today. So thanks for that feedback, Ione. Okay, we have Edward next. Michael, Dr. Edward. I think you're muted, Michael.
Impossible. It's never happened before. You have no proof. But no, I was saying Dr. Mike is actually next. He's the numbered individual that's in the chat with us tonight.
All right. I had him down. Okay.
Because he referenced his name later on, but he'd actually thrown his name up there earlier.
He did it. Okay. Got it, Mike.
So we're keeping things fair here on the Spirit of Life. Mike, I have number 30 for you, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued, and delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Oh, I like that. And you have the communicator card in support of that, Mike. So the Page of Clubs is a communications card. It's a bridge card. And it's you. It may be in your greatness and discovering where you're really good at is putting people together, delivering information, being that bridge in some way. So that's what I'm seeing here for you, that there's an opportunity to connect ideas, connect people, connect yourself, and moving forward. So I'd say there's a nice little positive event coming up where you're going to see that you had a real value in making that happen. Awesome.
All right. And Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 14, energy shift and new chapter. Just had it open too. Here we are. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
I think this is when things are going to happen a lot faster for you now, Edward. You might think that life has been slow or events are slow to happen, but the Eight of Clubs says, things are moving now. So this energy shift is going to have a really quick moment, like you'll see. And I think even after this past full moon, you might notice that the energy has changed for you in a lot more activity, more communicating, and a busier time. But you also have the energy for it. So I think that's great. Awesome.
All right. And I believe that we have Eileen next. I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be time for a new direction. But do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Wheel of Fortune in support of that, Eileen, and it's knowing when to move quickly. You know, it's like if you can feel their blocks. And again, I'm kind of going to reiterate what I said to Edward, and even for you. If you felt like things haven't been moving, I can see a curtain being pulled back and a really good time of opportunity. And I think that you'll see that the timing is much better. So knowing when to move forward, knowing when to pull back, that's always the lesson in these messages. But I think you're about to start a new endeavor, and you'll know exactly when that can occur. So I kind of get chills when I think of that. It's exciting.
All right, let me see. I think we have Ronnie next. Yep. And I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down and assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
You know, I'm noticing a thread here, Michael. of, you know, moving energy, action kind of thing where, and I'm glad because I felt that in the last couple of weeks that, you know, we're going to turn a page in energy. And I'm going to say that for Ronnie as well. Expediency supported with the Ace of Hearts is, doing what you love to do, renewing your enthusiasm. And so if you've been low energy, for instance, or not necessarily feeling, you know, some days you're just not up for it, Michael. You know those days?
Only those then why.
One day the light bulb goes on, you say, hey, I'm up for it today. That's what I feel for Ronnie. And it comes from the heart. It's exciting.
I love that. That's a great message. All right, Jamil. Let's see, I have number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
You know, Jamil, I don't know if you do something that's entrepreneurial or you work for yourself or you contract to others, because that's what I feel is an energy at work here. You're, Wendy just said Jamil had this card on April 13th.
Oh, wow.
Self-mastery.
Oh, thank you for that, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy. So that, again, self-mastery in the independence and kind of self-generated autonomy and the energy with the Jack of Diamonds here is, and a Jack to me is like youthful enthusiasm, feeling the energy of it. But again, this has to do with work, money. It's more the physical world, so you're generating something. So if you had thought about doing something independent or self-employed, and I don't mean necessarily even full-time, but I think this would be a good time for you to think about that or step your foot into that world. I do.
All right, very good. All right, we have our card keeper, Wendy, next. Wendy, I have number 4, past, present, future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
It could be a moment of reflection here. I'm seeing Wendy. I pulled the Ten of Spades and I said, oh, what's that about? And then I pulled another. It's a King of Diamonds. So when I see that, could be a delayed grieving, or you might have had a loss of someone in your life, or it could even be a coworker, somebody who's left. But it's catching up with yourself to just reflect on your past, present, and future, and where you want to be, and, you know, filling a space. But it also, those moments make us a little reflective, right? So it's just taking that moment to yourself. And, you know, I remember last week you said about cleaning closets, and sometimes that's a good time to clean a closet, you know, just having that, you know, those, take an hour or something and really feel the emotion of grieving and reflection and moving forward and clean out a closet and feel good about that. So I think it's positive. I think we all need to take those times, and I sure hope what I just said makes sense to Wendy. So there we go.
Very nice. Although I don't know if it's ever really, I mean, this aside from grieving or any kind of special circumstances, it makes me sad just to think about cleaning my closet. I don't know if it's ever a good time to do that. But all right. And we have Teresa next, and I have a wild card for you. Wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Oh, Teresa, I got the Queen of Spades. in support of that. You know, sometimes we do have to stand up and step forward. And in learning about freedom, it's not to be aggressive, but it's certainly about being assertive. And what I'm feeling here is this moment where you're finding that inner strength of being you. So if you have felt oppressed in a situation or in a relationship, this is your moment to say, nah, I'm good. You know, and no, I got this. Mm-hmm. And so you feel that empowerment, and that's what I get from this. So, and again, I hope that makes sense to you also.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the feedback, Wendy. I appreciate that sincerely. She said what we said for her made a lot of sense. So thanks. You know, when we sometimes when I feel like I'm getting a little too personal, Michael, I don't want to trespass, but that's the message. And so I try to find a good way to say it. And I'm saying, gee, it's taking a big risk. But that's why I appreciate the feedback so much. Thank you. So C. Fitzgerald is first name. Do you know?
I don't, unfortunately. But by my tally, they are our last card request of the evening.
Yes. All right.
So, and I have number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who and what they are, and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another. Ah, Cleo. Cleo, that card is for you.
Thanks, Cleo. Cleo, I got the Four of Hearts for you, and I love that opportunity coming from nowhere. I would say if you're in a relationship, I want to say it's turning a corner and I see a gift coming to you. If you're not in a relationship, I see a heart coming to you. So, you know, again, I'm just kind of winging it here that relationships with the Four of Hearts is, I'm going to say love is in the air, Michael. Boy, that sounds like a fortune teller, doesn't it?
It sounds like a song.
Oh, it is so. I think we could probably put everything we ever say to a song somewhere.
True enough.
But I also want to say to you, Cleo, that you could be, and again, it's one of those things that just comes to my mind, you could be healing a relationship that you haven't seen someone for a long time. And I see that reconnection, and I think that you'll be able to have good words there. That's what comes to me. So, anyway, that's I think wraps up our cards for the night, Michael.
When we hear the dog barking, it means it's that time of the evening.
You know what? Again, I want to apologize to everybody if it's irritating on your end. Sometimes for Michael and I, we do have those nights where, for some reason, there's a glitch. And I felt it tonight, too, Michael. We kind of stepped on each other a couple of times, and I'm really sorry. That certainly was not any intention.
No, so. No. I've long been aware of my two left feet, both, you know, proverbially and literally. So I appreciate you guys hanging through it, that, you know, tech glitch with us. I think we had a great conversation, even through some stumbling. I think we, you know, were able to come to some great points. And I'm looking forward to next week. You know, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit, and we had talked about this before the broadcast started. But we kind of touched on religion in a few ways and how it relates to aliens. And I think next week we're going to dive more into religion. And what I'm hoping to kind of get out of it is, what is the human need for a god or gods? And why were they created? You know, kind of, you know, definitely not a new idea, humans creating gods, but something I'd like to explore. And this was inspired by some, you know, history, reading and listening to, you know, podcasts and audiobooks and things that I've done about the transition that Christianity undertook and how it changed forms to suit the needs of different cultures. And it made me think, you know, what is this, what is this process all about? And of course, then Dr. Vicky and I start talking about it, and Dr. Vicky brings her wisdom. So I am thrilled that you all take the time to join us. And, you know, tonight has been a wonderful discussion. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts on this?
No, well, Dr. Edward mentioned that he'd like a part two of tonight's conversation, and we might do that in the next couple of weeks. So I'd like to also keep an eye on these hearings, and maybe we can kind of do an update later on. So we can certainly go into that. And but I love your topic for next week, Michael. I think that it's appropriate. I think it's something a lot of people are even thinking about. You know, like, where did this all come from? And why do we need gods?
Well, and just, you know, how they've changed so much over time, too, and as humans have changed. But, yeah, we're going to be a little bit flexible with it. Maybe you toss the idea around after we're done, and I'll play around with the timing. Because I'm not... I'm flexible, but...
We're flexible.
We are. And thank you all for joining us. Thanks for, you know, listening to me talk, and Dr. Vicky, thank you for joining. I think it's probably undisputed that people tune in to get some of the wisdom from your end, and I'm able to provide some of the layman kind of, you know, I'm Watson to your Sherlock, so I appreciate you.
Hey, I'm down with that. We make a good team, Michael.
Thank you. I think so too. But thanks everybody for joining us. Forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.